Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pretty Boy Podcast. Here, I'm your host, Pretty Boy Chris, and this podcast is brought to you by the Rage Game Network Podcast and Rage Game Network Podcast Crew. Welcome back, everyone, to the Pretty Boy Podcast. I am your host, Pretty Boy Chris. And, well, the next couple weeks are going to be crazy around the Rage Game Network community. They've got a lot going on, especially with St. Paddy's Day coming up with the crew. They've got a lot of events going on. So I figured at least for this weekend, I would plug in my little news that's going on in the world here of gaming, video game, tabletop gaming, right? And anything in between. I got a couple stories that are fairly interesting, and even some technical stuff, which I just found out. But it's been a little bit since I know I've been on Pretty Boy in this podcast, but also in Rage Game, and we've been popping in here and there. Yeah, it's a bit of crazy. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of personal things going on. Exciting personal things, right? As Andy put it in the last podcast, Pretty Boy using his pretty skills. Thank you, Andy, for that little comment. I have a feeling we'll have a discussion about that Pretty Boy skills later. But there's just a lot going on, as I said. So let's go ahead and just get right into this on the episode today. So today on the Pretty Boy podcast, we're going to go over a couple things. There's a couple mini topics I'm going to go over. We'll talk about some PlayStation Plus games that are coming out. A couple releases coming out. One announcement that we don't have a release date. One that we kind of have a release date for a couple games here. We're then going to transition into our main topic for today. And those main topics we're going to start with is a survey that was given to a bunch of fans of D&D, Stranger Things, that took the survey. It's about the new D&D movie coming out. So we'll get into that a little bit about the details and how everyone feels about that in the survey. Later on, we're going to talk a lot about dice towers. So I'm going to explain what a dice tower is. And then we're going to talk about, it looks like, five different dice towers that you can get for yourselves. You know, whether you want to use it as a DM or a game master, as a player in a lot of these tabletop games. We'll get into that a little bit more. Different designs, different things you can get. Again, this information will be down the show notes if you would like to possibly get yourself a dice tower yourself. We'll go back. We'll get on break at that point in time. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about a surprising news I just found out that apparently the PS3 is getting an update, a firmware update. We'll talk a little bit about that because it's 2023 and PS3 getting an update is a little confusing right now. And then we will talk about our last topic, which is going to be, we just found out there's going to be expansion for Elden Rings, which just came out about a year ago. And then obviously at the end of the show, we're going to have our Pretty Boys Game of the Week. And everything you want to know about me, obviously, in Rage Game Network, check down in the show notes down below. You'll see all the information. I'm pretty sure I'll shout it out a couple times throughout the podcast, and I'll talk about it, obviously, at the end. So, all right. The main mini topics we're going to go over today. Well, we got a couple here. So, got an article. PlayStation Plus, for the month of March, has announced they're going to release three free games for the month of March 2023. The three games are Battlefield 2042, Minecraft Dungeons, and Code Vein. Battlefield 2042, I believe, will be a PS5 and a PS4 versions will be available. My understanding, Minecraft Dungeons and Code Vein are going to be only for PS4 players. My understanding. So let's get a little bit into the games here while we have a second. Okay. Battlefield 2042. Well, you're going to be able to grab the latest version of Battlefield 2042. Like I said, from EA, it's their first-person shooter. It's basically their COD. right? Their Activision game. It launched back in 2021. They have had consistent rollouts ever since. They've improved a lot of the online experience. It is coming, so you'll be able to play with your friends and have a good time. From a little bit what I understand from Battlefield 2042, it's pretty much all online. There's no campaign, right? It's more of an MMO type game. When it started off, it wasn't great. I saw ratings somewhere between 6 and 7 out of 10 for most platforms of gaming. Studios and not studios, companies that rate games like IGN and all those. It didn't fit do very well. They have been working very hard in the last couple years to get the game up and running the way it is. From what I'm hearing, it's a lot better. It's a little bit more free of bugs. Like every game now they push out, right? There's bugs everywhere in the game. But it's, like I said, it's like your normal, if you don't know anything about the Battlefield, I played a couple of Battlefield games, Battlefield 5 and Battlefield 1, which, let's see, Battlefield 1 was World War 1, Battlefield 5 is World War 2. So they kind of plan that concept of what's been going on with COD there. Really good games. It's a little different combat style, I guess, from COD that I'm used to, so... The buttons are a little bit different from when I was playing on my PlayStation. So it took me a little bit to kind of get used to the setup. But even the campaign and the online stuff wasn't that bad once I got used to it. So it's not something I play all the time, but it's every once in a while I jump on to Battlefield and play. But yeah, this game looks a lot better than it did in the past. For the month of March, you can, if you are a PS4... or a PS5 player, can for free get Battlefield 2042. So at the end, I'll tell you when you are going to be able to get these games. But let's go on to the next game. So I heard this one, and I wasn't sure how this plays into the whole realm of the series here. But Minecraft Dungeons. Essentially what... has been told to us is this is basically Minecraft's version of Diablo. Apparently it's really good game. I was seeing that the ratings were pretty good. Very similar to the vein, like I said, of Diablo, especially with Diablo 4 coming out. It's got that same kind of like slash your way through groups of enemies, search for loot, one of those loot games. It really gives you actually more history and lore in the world of Minecraft itself. Which is actually really nice that we get to have a little bit of history, because you don't get to learn a lot when you're playing just the regular Minecraft game. But, hey, Minecraft Dungeons apparently is a really good hit. People are playing with themselves, right, and their friends. It's a very great family cooperative type of a game. You can play with kids, which I like to hear that, you know, make it more kid-friendly so everyone can play the game. And it could help you with Diablo, right? That's itch. If you are waiting for Diablo 4, this could be a good game that you could play to get ready for Diablo 4. So Minecraft Dungeons for the PlayStation 4 will be free coming up here. And everything I saw looks good. You know, I've played a little bit of Minecraft myself. I have not played Dungeons. And I actually kind of watched the trailer and said, wow, this is very interesting. I did not expect this. And I expect that I would actually kind of enjoy this game. So yeah, that's something that surprised me. And then your last one, Code Vein. It's an RPG game that's going to come out. It's, I believe, Brandy Namako published this RPG game. And it takes cue from the Dark Souls. It's like a Dark Souls-like game and has some flashy anime that comes with it. It's definitely, like I mentioned, it's definitely influenced by the world of Dark Souls. So when you're playing the game, you feel like you're almost in that universe, even though this is not their universe. It's got a lot of strong combat. There's some really cool environments, a lengthy campaign that can be played either solo or with a friend. Yeah, it gave me that Dark Souls view. It was really beautiful the way it's set up. So I even was like, oh, that would be a game I would check out, you know, if I ever turn my PS4 back on, It's been a while. Would love to turn that thing back on. So yeah, maybe I'll turn it on for these and get these free games because these actually look pretty good. So let me just reiterate real quick and then we'll get going on our main topics. Well, a couple things we have to talk about, then we'll go to main topics. So for the month of March 2023, Battlefields 2042, Minecraft Dungeons, and Code Vein are available to all PlayStation users. Battlefield 2042 is for PS5 and PS4. Minecraft Dungeons and Code Vein will only be for PS4. You will be able to get these items in a couple days here. So we're looking at March 7th is when you can get them. And they'll be available through April 3rd. So check that PlayStation Store on March 7th. Download the games if you're interested. And take advantage of your PlayStation Plus membership. And get some free games. All right. Let's go to our second topic today. Our second topic that I pulled is actually about a game called Baldur's Gate 3. Was looking at GameSpot, and it came out that they did confirm some news to us on GameSpot. GameSpot did confirm that we are going to get a version of Baldur's Gate 3 on the PS5 and the PC. They have not officially announced an Xbox, but they have said that it's in the works. So let me just kind of read this real quick to you guys. But part of the, if you guys haven't known, PlayStation did have their State of Play event a few weeks ago now. And they did at that point in time have Larian Studios, who I believe develops the game, publishes and develops the game. They've announced that Baldur's Gate 3 is headed to consoles. Because it was only previously said it was going to be in PC, but we found out that when they're releasing the PC version, they're also going to release some console versions. So, what I just found out, August 31st, 2023, PS5 and PC will get the Baldur's Gate 3 game. So that's when it's going to be released for you guys, if you guys are interested in that game. Like I mentioned, the article has an update. At the time that when this got released, there wasn't any plans to put it on the Xbox, or they hadn't officially released it. In the article, it mentioned that there will be an Xbox version of the game, but they're right now having some problems with the Series S version. Apparently, there are some technical issues that are ongoing that they have to figure out. So, Xbox, currently, we do not know when, but the rest of them, we're looking right around August 31st, 2023. And one thing that I just looked at the article and I didn't pick up on, but the studio also announced there's going to be a new character for Baldur's Gate 3. There's going to be this general, Kenrick Rumminth, who is voiced by actually an Oscar-winning actor, J.K. Simmons. So he's going to be one of the three main villains in the game. Those of you who know who J.K. Simmons is, he's been in a lot of projects. Fairly well known. Spider-Man is the big one. He's been in there. Check him out. He's down in the article below. But it also talks about if you're interested in getting a deluxe edition, some of the extra things you can get. There's, looks like a song pack, a bard song pack, some paintings for some new collections you can get. An adventures pouch. You can collect some of your camping supplies and potions for your journey. Some digital art books, some digital music, it sounds like. Digital character sheets. They pre-used a set of four-page D&D character sheets for each Baldur's Gate 3 original character, which is really cool to see that. And there's, like I said, some cloaks and some other playable instruments and things that you can get. So if you're interested, check it out in the show notes. You're going to see all of that. Like I said, no price has been given yet, but that's a fun little thing to find out that, hey, you know, Baldur's Gate 3, which we talked about at some point on one of the shows, had been talked about coming out. Well, it's coming out. All right, so this last mini topic we're going to go over, we just found out Apex Legends is getting its own board game. Guys, it's coming to Kickstarter. We just found out this. I cannot believe that they are taking this franchise and turning it into a board game. But hey, there are people that like this kind of stuff. So I'm not shocked, to be honest with you. So, right, the Battle Royale shooter that was published by EA and Respawn Entertainments, right, has become such a high popular competitive online phenomenon. Well, they decided, hey, you know what? Let's get into the board gaming business. So they worked with Glass Cannon as a developer to create the board game for Apex Legends. That was officially announced, like I said. And I got to tell you, it's interesting. I didn't really get to see a lot of pictures on it because there's not too much. I've only got to see the box with, it looks like some characters that come with it. It's your main types. But some miniatures, it looks like. Let's see here. It's just a system designed to not just accommodate board games newbies, but allow for formal organized play. In addition, the game will support highly detailed miniatures, sharp graphic design, and even seasonal release similar to the source material. So I guess, yeah, it's on Kickstarter. They got a campaign going on. They're looking at, it looks like, a May 17, 2023 go live for this game. So if you are interested or you want to support the campaign, go to Kickstarter, I guess, and check it out. Which is, yeah, I'm kind of interested and shocked at the same time that happened. So, all right, we just finished mini topics for this Pretty Boy podcast. So what we're going to do, we're going to slide on over to our main topics today and what we've got going for you. We'll start with topic number one. Topic number one is, well, we just got told that D&D fans are on the fence with the new Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie that's going to be coming out shortly here. I know. Well, you're probably asking, Pretty Boy, like, what do you mean they're on the fence? Why are you saying that everyone's like 50-50 or something of that nature? Well, I'm saying this because I actually happened to pull an article. Obviously, you know me. I got to do my research. Dicebreaker.com focuses a lot more on board games for everyone. But I thought it was an interesting article because it says in the beginning, only half of D&D fans expect the movie to be any good. And that's what this survey says. So reading through the article a little bit, what we found out is not too long ago, a survey was released to more than 2,500 people who described themselves as fans of Dungeons & Dragons, Stranger Things, or they're a fan of both. And what they found out, okay, is generally speaking, within all those fans, they're all right about at a 50-50. So whether you like Dungeons & Dragons, whether you like Stranger Things, or whether you're a fan of both, right? They compiled all this information, all this data, put all the numbers, crunched the numbers in, like I've done in the past in school, and it's really annoying. In my senior project, I had to do that. That sucked so much. Thank you, high school, for having me have to do something like that. Well, they're saying that 50% of these people that did the survey are saying that the movie's going to be terrible, meh, disappointing, or they also are not sure what to expect. And I get it. I totally get it, right? Most of you guys know, and I gotta look this up real quick, but if I'm correct, the last Dungeons & Dragons movie that was made was, first of all, not good. It was horrible. Oh, it's not in this article. It was years ago. I want to say you're looking at almost 20 plus years ago. Oh, here we go. You got to remember the last one was in the 2000s. It's the Dungeons and Dragons movies. Jeremy Irons was in it. It didn't perform well at the box office. It didn't do good at all. And then on top of it, I didn't know this. It was so bad. They made two sequels to that movie. And guess what? They went direct to home releases, which means they never even went in the theater. That's how, when your movie is a low budget and it gets a direct to home release, and you got, it says two sequels. That's bad. That means they were not good quality. They were really bad, and they probably didn't have any of the characters from that original movie, right? So what am I getting at? Well, the point I'm making it is this was done 20 years ago. It didn't go too well, right? This movie kind of, I would say, got greenlit at Paramount and CBS because of some things that have been going on currently in the world of media and tabletop games. One of the big ones is, right, where we saw in Stranger Things that they were playing Dungeons and Dragons in that TV series, right? So it brought a lot of people back into D&D, and that's what Wizards of the Coast was excited about. Well, on top of it, too, look at Critical Role. They have two TV series coming out. You got Legends of Vox Machina, and you got The Mighty Nein coming out soon. They're both on Amazon Video. Big Bang Theory. I mean, The Big Bang Theory talked about Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, my God. I remember watching that. And it was hilarious. And it made it. D&D now is a little bit more of an acceptable game in entertainment in our world. People are starting to understand that it's okay to play D&D. You don't have to feel ashamed. You don't have to feel like you're like an excluded group of people that, right, you play D&D, we don't associate with you, right? Now it's a little more accepted. There's, you look at it, there's a bunch of celebrities. That's what they do. They literally get together and they play D&D all the time. All the time. Joe Manganiello is a huge D&D fan. I think he played, what, Deathstroke in the old DCEU universe? Huge fan. He's one. He's got custom tables and everything. Go online, look him up. He'll tell you all kinds of story about D&D. But let me get back on topic because I'm swaying a little bit. Right. So they did the survey, 2,500 people. Half basically said it's terrible, meh, or disappointing. They're not sure what to expect. I get that. But then the other half, the other 50%, they expect it actually to be okay, good, or great. Which I'm kind of in the wheelhouse of here, right? Watching the couple trailers, the movie's coming out in less than a month. I think, just looking at it, I go, okay, I think it'll be a... I'm somewhere between okay and good. I think it's gonna... I truly believe it might be a good film. Or it might be like, okay, I enjoyed it. There were some problems with it, but okay, I could work around this. That's where I sit right now. I mean, you've got a great, first of all, you got a great amount of cast members in this, star-studded. You've got Chris Pine. You've got Michelle Rodriguez. You got Regine Jean Page. Justice Smith. I mean, Hugh Grant. Come on. It looks like he's going to be an antagonist in the film. I mean, everything I'm seeing, it's falling on the tropes of Dungeons and Dragons that we all play. I think that's the intention here, is that the movie is going to be very similar to how you would normally play D&D. And some of the things that happen would be things that would happen in a D&D game. Based on who's directing, producing, et cetera, on this. But yeah. So just looking at this, like I mentioned, 50-50 split. I can get into the details. There's a lot. One of the things I learned was about 1 out of 10 people that took that survey didn't even know there was a Dungeons & Dragons movie coming out. Which, okay, so let's say 10% of the population didn't know. 700 million, I think, people in the United States. 750, probably. 10%, I mean, that's 75,000 people. That's pretty good. That's actually pretty good, to be honest with you. That's really good. So, a couple things they also looked at with this, right, when we talked about it. About a third of those that got surveyed said they have played Dungeons & Dragons for at least a decade now. A third have been playing between 1 to 10 years. And then, like I said, some have been actually 1 out of 10 people have only been playing for maybe less than 10 years. I think that's the big one. 1 out of 10 people have been playing for less than 1 year. I mean, if you look at that, 10%, let's say, if you're taking the whole country, 75,000 people, imagine, I would imagine with Stranger Things and everything going on that we probably have had a couple hundred thousand people who have been starting to play D&D since really Stranger Things came out and they brought the D&D experience into the media world. All right. I think we kind of hit that topic enough. If you want to know, Dungeons & Dragons Honor Amongst Thieves is due to be in theaters March 31st, 2023. Visit your local theater and check out the movie. I think it's going to be a good one. We have talked on Rage Game Network about going together to go see the movie at some point. So, and doing a review on it. I imagine once the band gets back together here in the next couple weeks, we'll come up with a plan to watch D&D and review it and then come back and let you guys know what we're going to do. So we might take a little break on our D&D session to do that, record an episode where we literally talk about that. I don't know. We'll see. All right. So we're going to end that topic for today. What we're going to do, we're going to actually go into topic number two. And topic number two today, we're going to get into dice towers that are monstrously good. That's my topic for today. I love it. Don't you guys like it? Monstrously good. I know, Pretty Boy picked the good names for these. All right. Most of you, actually, there's probably a bunch of you, and I kind of had this question. I went, what the heck is a dice tower? So I pulled something from Wikipedia, the one place you should never get your information from. Well, I got my information from Wikipedia. I just need a basic definition. They had a basic definition. But don't use Wikipedia if you're trying to cite something for a research paper. Not the most reliable. A dice tower is a tool used by gamers to roll dice fairly. Dice are dropped into the top of the tower and bounce off the various hidden platforms inside it before emerging from the front. The dice towers eliminate some methods of cheating, which may be performed when rolling dice by hand. There are many forms of towers, and they vary in construction and design. So basically, it's to prevent people from cheating. It lets everyone know what you have. I've seen them used that way. Like we talk about in the Pretty Boy podcast every once in a while, I try to bring in, hey, what type of things can you incorporate into your D&D campaigns, your Pathfinder campaigns, right? Any of those tabletop games, Call of Cthulhu, some of the other ones that I was looking at. Right here, you can see it. Okay? So this is the one I highlighted. I highlighted dice towers today. We've talked in the past about some different items you can use to kind of help yourself with spells, with movements, with tracking initiatives and where people go, right? We haven't talked a lot about tools and items you can use to be a good DM. That might be something we can explore. I might have to bring someone on for that one because I've never DM'd or been a game master. I know, shocking. So there's a couple here. Let's start with the first one. I got to pull an article for this one, just so I can look at the designs. So the first one is a mimic dice tower. What is a mimic dice tower? What it explains here is a little excerpt I pulled out. Right? For some reason, we all love mimics. They're one of those monsters that don't appear too often, but when they do, it always makes an all-in-good fun moment of animosity towards the DM. You thought it was great. You thought it was going to be a treasure, but it was me, Mimic. Luckily, this treasure chest only looks like a mimic and is, in reality, a dice tower. So, if you don't know what a mimic is, look down in the article. I have the link to topic number two here. You'll see it's the first thing. It's a chest, right? It's basically a monster chest. Chest that has some eyes up top. Teeth are where you open it. This one looks like it has a tongue that comes out. And what happens if you drop your dice in the one end. It rolls around the tongue here and shows you what you rolled. Kind of a clever idea, actually. I like it. It's cute. I would I get it? Probably not. I don't know if I would do that for my dice tower. But it's cool. I like it. So the article, you're going to see, it's going to have where you can get things from Amazon. When I looked it up on Amazon, it's currently not available. But I did kind of look around to other sites. I had to do some research. It seems to be that this normally is priced at $39.99. So if you can find it, and this is US dollars, mind you. But if you could find it outside of Amazon and you could get it, I highly recommend it. That's not too bad of a deal. All right, let's go to the next one. The Cthulhu Dice Tower. While Cthulhu isn't exactly from D&D, it's not. It's its own tabletop game, for those of you who don't know. I find that the people with a passionate interest in the great old ones and people who play D&Ds will have a fair amount of overlap. Plus, there are multiple Cthulhu and Lovecraft-inspired tabletop RPGs that also use dice. So, of course, there is a market for a Cthulhu-shaped dice tower. You drop the dice into the head, and they land in the waves he's rising anonymously out of. Plus, if you have any bad dice, each hand acts as a terrifying dice jail. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can look at the article right number two here. It's Cthulhu himself. I looked at a design. You just drop the dice up top in the head, and what happens? He rolls all the way down through the head, pops out underneath, right where his mouth is, and you see your dice show right at the end of the ways that you have right there. Actually, kind of a cool design. I kind of like that. I mean, that's not my favorite, but I like that a lot. Cthulhu Dice Tower. So on Amazon, you can get this for $59.99. That is American, obviously. Not bad. It's a little bit more pricier one. I think this is the most expensive one right now that I could find for dice towers. Not a bad option if you want something cool. Okay, the next one. Skull Dice Towers. This one's kind of cool. This one is delightful in its simplicity. It's a skull with a spider sitting spookily on top. The dice drop into one of the eye sockets and out through the mouth, which is perfectly and naturally designed to keep the dice from shooting off of the table. This design works for almost any kind of game, from fantasy to Goonies style, kids on a bike, you name it. And with the four color options, you can get a skull tower to match your table or room. And it looks really cool, let me tell you. I have it in black that I saw it, but there were other different colors you can get. I think there was like a brown color. I think I saw red and something else. So definitely really cool. When I looked online on Amazon, the normal price that you get it is $39.99. Right now, as of the recording of this podcast, Amazon has a sale going on for it, and you can get it for $29.95, which is actually a really good price, and I think is going to be the cheapest dice tower that you can find on this list. So, if you are interested, like I said, go on down to the links below and check it out. If you're interested in a dice tower, I recommend the Skull Dice Tower. Fairly cheap, looks good. And get all kinds of different colors. The next one is the Lynch King Tower. This design is fun, smart, and really great for D&D campaigns. Dice fall in through the crown and then come out through one of the three random chutes, so you really don't know what you'll be getting when you roll with this tower, or even where your dice will come out. It also comes with a set of two translucent blood red dice to really lean into the theme. Really cool. I like this one. I want to get one of these. Super cool. You drop it up top, and there's basically three different little areas that the dice can come out. And when you drop it, it determines which way it wants to go. And you get a set of dice for free, which I like that. Really cool. That's the one I want so bad. So there's a large tower and a mini tower. The large tower, currently they are not selling on Amazon, and I could not really find a price for the large tower. So I apologize. But the mini version, there's a smaller version. You can get that on Amazon for $29.99. So if you are interested, like I said, go down below. You'll see everything there. Check it out. I'm Amazon. And the last one we're going to talk about is the Purple Worm Dice Tower. This is the apparently one of the favorites when they created this. It's a nice drop into a worm's back and shoot out through its mouth. So it's always looking like the creature is about to eat your freshly rolled dice. And if you get a nut one, it may just. It just may. Oh my God. That's terrifying. That is extremely terrifying. Yeah, it's essentially, it's a worm. So you put it in, it looks like up top, it rolls out at the bottom of the mouth. And it doesn't have, it looks like, a lot of room for the dice to move around down there. But yeah, that's terrifying. Super terrifying. It's a, you know, you can get it colored, you can get it not colored. The one on Amazon is colored. That price is $49.99. So again, if you're interested, check it out. So like I said, if you are interested in any of these five dice towers that I have explained to you today on the Pretty Boy Podcast, go on down to the show notes below you. You're going to see main topic. You'll see under articles, I apologize. You're going to see topic 1, 2, 3, and 4. Not mini topics, topics 1, 2, 3, and 4. Click on number 2. You'll see the article where I pulled all this information. Click on the link, and it will take you right to the Amazon link for that, and that's where you can purchase these items. I'll also be putting a copy of most of these links on the Rage Game Network podcast Facebook page and the Pretty Boy podcast Facebook page. So if you want to see it there, check it out there. While we're at this point, before we go on break, obviously, if you want to check myself out or Rage Game Network, I highly recommend that you come check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Discord, YouTube, and any other social media sites that we have for Rage Game Network and Pretty Boy Podcasts. And if you're interested in finding out where those links are, go down again to the bottom of your show notes. You're going to see all the links to all our social media accounts where you can check us out anytime, any day. All right, everyone. I think we've gone over enough topics for right now, but I think we will see each other in a little bit, and we're going to take a break. We're going to let Rage Game Network tell us what the commercial is all about. All right, see you guys. Welcome back, everyone, to the Pretty Boy Podcast. All right, we just had a little break there from Rage Game Network, so let's keep going on the choo-choo train. So we're going to go with topic number 3 today. And topic number 3 today was a shock to me. So I didn't know this was going to happen. But a few days ago, Sony has released a PlayStation 3. Yeah, guys, I did say PlayStation 3. Firmware update version 4.09. You're probably thinking, Pretty Boy, seriously? What? It's been years since PlayStation 3 was a thing. It's been over decades. Why is PlayStation 3 getting an update? Can you please tell me more about this? This doesn't make any sense. Well, yeah. Let me see if I can tell you, because it mind-boggled me when I saw this story. But here's the thing. If you still have a PlayStation 3, for this update, version 4.09, you are going to need a 200 megabyte free space on your PlayStation 3 hard drive or media storage. From what I understand, it's more of an improvement of the system performance. A little bit of dig-in that I got into it, because this article doesn't really talk a ton about it. Really, it's kind of one of those, they're kind of plugging some holes in their system, right? Patching them up, just so it's not too much of a problem. We thought that version 4.89, which I believe released in March of 2022, yes, we thought that was going to be the last big update that the PlayStation 3 was getting, and that was going to be considered its end-of-life update. Well, I don't know. I think this might be the last update it ever gets, in my opinion. I don't know. I can't see another update. It wouldn't make sense unless there was something really, really wrong. But there are a lot of people. If you didn't know this, I kind of figured it out, but I didn't know this. There are a lot of people that are still playing on the PlayStation 3. Think about it. Still on the PlayStation 3. The PlayStation 5 has released a couple years ago. PlayStation 4 got released. I didn't even look up the date, but I would imagine it's got to be in the mid-2010s. I want to say when PlayStation 3 released, it was like 05, 06. Somewhere around there. So it's been like 15 plus years you're talking about. Almost 20 years here. We're looking decades at this. PlayStation 3 has been out. And they've got an update coming to improve system performance? Wow. Definitely did not expect that. So it gets into the article, right? It talks about that, but then it talks a little bit about the past couple years and why, right? Why are they doing an update to the PS3? Well, for those of you who didn't know, back in 2021, Sony was planning to shut down the PlayStation 3 storefront. But it kind of reversed those plans after a bunch of players who, guess what, still played on the PlayStation 3, pushed back against this decision, which made it very hard for them to properly shut it down. But here's the little caveat. So right now, if you were to go on the PlayStation 3, get into the game store, and go looking for games, guess what? You can't purchase anything to the PS3 or the PlayStation Vista content now. It's very hard. You can, but you can't do it through the store. They essentially eliminated using credit cards and debit cards as well as PayPal in the stores on the PlayStation 3 and on the PlayStation Vita devices. So guess what? If you still want to buy a PlayStation 3 game and play it on your PlayStation 3 or your PlayStation Vita, you actually have to add funds through your PlayStation account, either on a desktop or a mobile version of the PlayStation Store or other devices like a PS5. That's crazy. You got to go to the next gen to buy it and then transfer it over. If you didn't know, the PSP Store did close officially in 2021. Like I mentioned, this update is just a performance update. Very interesting. You're not going to be able, they mentioned in the article, right? Very soon, recently, the PlayStation PSVR 2 came out. This isn't going to be something where, right, you purchase one of those, you can hook it up to your PS3 and play it. No, it's designed for the PS5. So that ain't going to happen, right? This update is like quality of life. At this point, probably be one of the last updates for the PlayStation 3, which is just shocking to me. But hey, they did it. So, all right, our last main topic we're going to talk about comes from Game Informer, and Game Informer came out with a little notice here that we found out that just a few days after the first anniversary of the Elden Ring game. Guess what, everyone? There is going to be an expansion to the game that's currently in development. So the official Elden Ring Twitter account did confirm that there is going to be an expansion. And they did tell us it is going to be called Shadow of the Edentree. I don't know. I said that wrong. I know I did. But we're getting an update. It's from the game. Not much is known about the update. If you're familiar with the game lore, like if you completed the game, apparently you might be able to piece together what this new venture is going to be about. I actually have not played this game yet, and this has been the one that I've said for a year I want to play. At some point, I'm going to get my hands on this game. I'm going to play this game. But Software, the company that made it, said, you might recognize where we're going to go with this. Anyways, they did release some concept art for the expansion. So if you, this is the Twitter for Elden Ring. It's on there. The Twitter that I just came across says something along the lines of, Rise, Tarishin, and let us walk a new path together. An upcoming expansion for Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erden Tree, is currently in development. We hope to look forward to new adventures in the lands between. Like I said, there's no release time. They're not saying when it's going to happen or anything like that. Which is very exciting to me. Because like I said, I have not played this game and it looks good. So to get an expansion is actually a good thing. I would imagine if they decided to create a second one, that's a couple years down the road. All right. Let's go to Pretty Boy's Game of the Week. So my Game of the Week that I picked for this round is Metro Exodus. Metro Exodus. I'll read a little bit about it. Links are in the below. But flee the shattering ruins of the Moscow Metro and embrace on an epic continent spanning journey across the post-apocalyptic Russian wilderness. Explore vast non-linear levels, lose yourself in an immersive sandbox survival experience, and follow a thrilling storyline that spans an entire year through spring, summer, and autumn to the depths of nuclear winter. Inspired by the novels that were written about this, Dmitry Glavatsky had, which is Metro Exodus, continues his story in the greatest metro adventure yet to date. My understanding is this game is a trilogy of games. So this is the third game of this whole trilogy of games. And from what I understand, they all were pretty good ratings. So I pulled this off Steam. The most recent views got a positive, very positive outcome. So we're looking at about just over 1,000 people rated that. All the reviews are very positive. I haven't found too many negatives. Over 73,000 voted for that. The game was released on February 14th, 2019. Developer was 4A Games. Publisher was Deep Silver. You normally can get the game for $29.99, but actually, right now, you only got a couple days left. There is a sale going on. You only, from the release of this podcast, you only got like 2 days left. You can get the game right now for $7.49, guys. $7.49. Normal price is like $30. To get it for that low, that's pretty good. And this is actually a AAA game that looks fan-freaking-tastic. You want to kill zombies? You want to kill things? Absolutely. I mean, there are so many creatures, and it's like a Fallout with a little bit better graphics and better tools and designs that you can have, right? You're going around with the militaries and adventurers, and you're scoping out and getting people back together in this nuclear winter environment in Russia. The gameplay looks fantastic. Like I said, just looking at it, I mean, the depths, the horror that plays into this, because it's more of a horror game. The creatures are just this bat-looking creature. Oh my God, he looks grossified and cool at the same time. The environments are vast. There's so much going on. Nature, the people you meet, the places you're going to go, the mountains, the creatures that you're going to play and see, the places you're going to go are just so cool. So, really good. If you want the gold version of the game, it's usually like $39.99. You can get it right now, like I said, on sale through the 9th for $9.99. And if you want to buy, and I just saw this, the game, the expansion pack, and a couple of titles that came out, I guess the second game, looks like there's like a saga bundle you can get on here. Usually it's about $85. You can get it for 13 86 right now, and that's this game with this expansion pack with Metro Last Night Redux and Metro 2033 Redux that came earlier in 2014 timeframe, it looks like. But yeah, this is actually a really good game, and it's verified. You can use it on your Steam Deck. So people like Andy and others will be very excited. You're going to need to play this. Let me pull out the system requirements on a Windows device. A 64-bit processor and operating system. You're looking at between Windows 7 and Windows 10. You're going to need at least an Intel Core i5 4440 or equivalent. About 8 gigs of RAM, obviously. Graphics card has to be GeForce GTX 670, GTX 1050, or an AMD Radeon HD 7870. DirectX, you need a version 11. Storage, you're going to need about 59 gigabytes availability. Sound card, you're looking at a DirectX compatible sound card. And just a couple additional notes, they're looking at enhanced editions do require a NVIDIA RTX and AMD RX GPU. So that's just the bare minimums. I just want to let you know. Really fantastic game, like I said. Very dynamic. I was just looking at some of the features. You can embark on an incredible journey aboard the Aurora, a heavily modified steam locomotive, and join a handful of survivors as they search for new life in the East. There's a sandbox survival mode, a beautiful hostile world. Very beautiful. There's deadly combat and stealth moves you can use for the mutants, and you have choices that you can make, and the atmosphere is very immersive. So I definitely recommend this game if you are interested. It's a single-player game that you can play. Metro Exodus is currently on sale at the Steam Store. You can find the link to the Steam down below, or if you want to get it on your PlayStation, your Xbox, or any other platforms that you have it for, guess what? Go to the website for Metro Exodus in the show notes below. Click on Buy Now, click what you want, and it will take you where you can buy it. All right, everyone, I think we're going to end the show today. We've done a really good job here recapping all the big news. We spent a lot of time on the mini news, so that's okay. Because I'm ready to get some sleep. I'm tired. So, if you want to check what games I have been playing in the last couple weeks, go down in the show notes below. You're going to see a couple games that I've been playing on the PlayStation or PC. As always, if you're interested in playing with me, shoot me a message on Discord. Let me know what you would like to play. And I'll play with you guys. Just let me know. All right? Rage Game Network. If you want to find Rage Game Network, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Discord. That's how you're going to be able to talk to us, guys, on Discord. We don't really use the Instagram too much. We try to put some pictures up here and there. We are getting a little bit of interaction on Facebook, so definitely leave us messages, pictures, whatever you need on Facebook. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you would like to see in the community here. We do have a YouTube page. I know we haven't used it a lot, like I mentioned before, in YouTube. I'd like to see if we can reuse that a lot more. Play a lot of games together or with you guys and record stuff. So if you want to get a hold of us, ragers@ragegamenetwork.com is the best email address to get a hold of us if you have any business opportunities for us. And website. Listen, guys, if you want to buy merchandise from the store, guess what? Go to www.ragegamenetwork.com. Guess what? All your social medias, the podcast, the merchandise store, if you want to know a little bit more about ourselves, we're going to be on there. So please go in there, get some merchandise, get yourself a shirt, get yourself a mug, get yourself a flag, get yourself a backpack. We got some pretty awesome merchandise in the store. Go on over there, buy something. They're fairly cheap. I don't think anything's over like $60, honestly. Pretty good prices, guys. So check it out. If you want to find me, your boy here, Pretty Boy Chris, well, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Discord. You can find me on Twitch, which every once in a while I will pop in and do a live stream on Twitch. You also find me on YouTube. That's usually where I play a lot of my games. So you go there. And then you can also email me for any business inquiries for the Pretty Boy Podcast at blahblah0267@gmail.com. And obviously, if you want to play with me out there on the PlayStation, the PS4, you could find me at blahblah267 or blahblah0267. All right, everyone. I think it's time to call it quits for today. Thank you, everyone, for paying attention to today's Pretty Boy Podcast. And like I said, we're going to have a few more of these coming up around the corner. And my first anniversary of the Pretty Boy Podcast is around the corner, end of the month. I believe it's March 30th, 2023 would be my 1 year anniversary that I've been on the air. So I want to thank you guys for keeping up with the show, listening to me when Rage Game isn't on. I know we're on season, I think, 4 of RGN. We are about to hit season 2 of the Pretty Boy Podcast at the end of March. So at some point, I'm going to do a season 2 episode here shortly. So like I mentioned, probably one more episode, and then we're going to go into a season 2 episode. We'll bring in possibly some new stuff, or we'll revisit a lot of the things that we've been doing the past year. So thank you, everyone, so much for your support and everything you've done throughout the year here on Range Gate Network Podcast, but also on Pretty Boy Podcast. And like I said, I think it's time to get out of here. So see you guys. #RagingOut.